Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
In the words of Alvin DeLauro,
you're on, dude.
Let's go to hour number three. What's going on? I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the program. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up in about 15 minutes, an MLB columnist with the New York Post, Joel Sherman. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. And again, we're getting a lot of action on our Facebook page. Be sure to go over there and do what you want, whatever you want. Big jungle announcement coming up soon as it relates to the program. And as soon as I can announce that, I will. This email sets up our next topic. The email reads, Jimmy Jam, Isaiah Thomas, randomly telling you he just went to Red Lobster isn't weird or creepy at all. Regards, those toe shoes Belichick was rocking on vacation. Son, Mike in Buffalo. Wardane Cook running to stores to get 85% off of all the Valentine's Day candy today. Thought that I threw a moratorium down on Dane Cook yesterday. Am I missing something? Is he out on tour? Did he get a new TV show? Is there something going on with him? Oh, he got fat. What is that? Is that an air raid? No, that's not an air raid. Fat ass. Oh, Scotty Farrell. I know what that is. That's Alvin's fat alarm. Something that I told him to dispose of yesterday. Anyway, back to the show. This guy mentioned the creepy sort of toe shoes that Belichick was rocking. All right, so the radio affiliates probably are not going to be happy about this. But look, my hands are tied here. I mean, what choice do I really have? What else can I do when Linda Holiday, longtime girlfriend of Bill Belichick, drops the photo of the year on her gram? Am I supposed to not talk about that? Am I supposed to not put that on TV? Am I supposed to not encourage every listener everywhere to stop exactly what they're doing and find CBS Sports Network right now? Look, I understand. From a radio standpoint, it is an audio medium. But if pictures are worth 1,000 words, then I've got 100,000 for what I'm looking at right now. And what I'm looking at right now is a beach vacation photo of Linda Holiday and her man looking like a thrift store just puked all over him. Head to freaking toe. The hood is murdering, straight murdering the game, killing the game. And I mean murdering, not killing. Murdering the game. Murdering like he set back beachwear a few decades. He's on fleek. He's got stees. Man, this dude. I can't even believe what this guy's wearing. He set back beachwear a few decades, at least. I mean, the frat boy look of the visor. The shades. Give way to a face trying everything it can to fire some sort of muscle that would force an actual smile. But it just won't happen. It's just not happening because it's the hood. And the hood don't smile. Not even on an island beach. And below that feeble attempt to smile, and please find this picture and follow along. Below the feeble attempt to smile is a black t-shirt which reads, in gothic red font, adapt or die. Except in place of the word or is a Gadsden snake. The shirt alone could carry 3 hours on this program. Where the hell did this guy get that thread? At an army surplus? In a Goodwill dumpster? On eBay? This dude is freaking wearing an ultimatum across his chest but on vacation at a beach. And the red-lettered Gothic font is merely icing on the cake. If your teenage son was in a high school band back in the 90s, this is the shirt that he would make to sell at the talent show. Except it's not your teenage kid back in the 90s. It's Bill Belichick's beachwear in 2018. And then on top of that, you've got the mismatched royal blue Hawaiian print Costco swim trunks. Nothing says I've got a table reserved at Margaritaville later tonight more than those board shorts. Hey, Hood, has anybody told you black and blue do not go together? I mean, at this point, I've got to wonder, how much should I hold Linda Holiday accountable? I mean, no man with that bank account or a girlfriend with actual eyesight should be wearing anything that guy's rocking. And again, don't at me with, hey, Rome, the guy's on vacation. Give it a rest. Give him some space. She's the one that put it out there. This wasn't one of those jerk photogs that found this guy on vacation and sold the picture to somebody. This is his own girlfriend putting it out there. So this is all fair game. Don't at me. And no, I'm not being a snob about this. I'm being a realist. No one with his bank account should be wearing what the Hood is wearing. No one with any bank account should be wearing what the Hood is wearing. And then somehow it gets worse, which goes back to the email which set this whole thing up. It gets much, much worse. Because where most beachgoers would wear flip-flops or maybe no shoes at all, my man went with Vibrams. Freaking Vibrams. You know, those weird rubber shoes that look like gloves for your feet. Like you're wearing gloves on your feet. You know, the shoes that separate all your toes like fingers. This is what Belly was rocking on the sand. My man, take a bow. Take the biggest bow ever. Kanye West could not curate a more bizarre look. Russ Westbrook is in absolute awe of what you did with that. Cam Newton's jaw is on the floor. But you do you, Hood. You do you. Keep living your best life, even if it is in the world's worst threads. What a look. And to all of our radio affiliates along the way, I'm very sorry about that, but you got to find the look to understand that look. If you see the look as I'm doing that, you know that's a great take. Hey, Rome, the Hood was caught wearing flippers on vacation. Now, that's a good look. Signed, obese guy wearing a skin-tight, dry-fit shirt and scuba goggles at the swim-up bar. Signed, Aaron in Omaha, wore humans with decency in public places. Joel Sherman's coming up momentarily. Phone lines are open right now. Let's try a phone call. This guy wants to contribute to a conversation or a take that we had a little bit earlier. Hey, Rome. The Hood looks like he's ready to do a triathlon. A triathlon of metal detecting, catching a swordfish, and finishing up with one of those luaus with the pig with an apple in its mouth.
No.
Steven PHX.
No days off.
Wore the Hood, heading out to the beach, yelling, no rays off.
No
rays off. No rays off. Hey, Steve, that's one of your better efforts. Of course, with you, the bar is set perpetually low, but that's one of your better efforts. I mean, that is what it looks like. A triathlon of metal detecting, catching a swordfish, and finishing up with one of those luaus where a pig's got an apple in his mouth. As I mentioned, this caller has something to add to something we talked about earlier, and apparently a personal note, too. Let's find out how it goes. Fort Collins, Colorado. Luke. Hey, Luke, how are you?
Great, Romy. How you doing, man?
Great. Everything's good.
Awesome. Chiming in on Devin Powell, actually. I've hung out with that dude. His wife and I were in a friend's wedding back in 2016. We finished up the rehearsal dinner, went back to the groom's apartment for a crazy bachelor party night. We're slamming shots, slamming beers. We're passing the lettuce around. And Devin's hanging with us and having a good time, but he was steering clear of all that stuff. His mindset was stay sharp, stay in shape, stay prepared. And that was his top priority, even with all this booze and blunt action going around. So it's a bummer that this injury occurred for him, but it does not surprise me at all that his training would reach that level of intensity. And I'm thinking here in the near future, we're going to hear him back in the news for actually winning a fight rather than almost losing his luggage. So I wish him and his family the best. Thanks for the vine, Romy. I'm out.
I like it. And go ahead and rock that call. And the reason I want to rock that call is because we had his picture up on TV. Once again, another reason why if you've got the kind of game that warrants it, you should call this show. We now have the corresponding artwork to go with some of your calls. And again, if you think you're good enough to get on the air, you should take a picture and DM it to Hawk on Twitter. We are compiling a database. Luke just had his picture on TV. Y'all know what I look like. I know what some of you look like, but not all of you. And those of you who are not on Twitter and not paying attention to the show within the show have no idea what these people look like. DM your pictures to Hawk. He is curating those pics. Like Luke, we saw him. Matt in LA, we saw the other day on TV. So not only are you being, not only are your takes being heard in new audiences or in front of and by new audiences in new markets, but people are starting to eyeball those takes. It's a good thing. Simulcast is one of the best things we have ever done for this show and the brand. Had I known the simulcast would go as seamlessly as it is, I may not have waited 20 years to do a simulcast. I might not have talked about it for 10 years. Rome. When I just say Rome, it means I'm going right to an email. Dear Rome, lay the hell off the hood's beachwear. Regards, people who still wear No Fear, Co-Ed Naked, or Big Johnson t-shirts. Signed, Geoff in Lincoln. Wore starter jackets and Zuba pants. Apparently some of you have seen that look. Dear Jim, I am offended by your criticisms of the hoodie's sense of style. Yours, Tim Duncan.
And Rome, that weird pregame ritual he does. Have you seen the way he holds the ball before the game? It reminds me of the guy from Castaway. I can't tell if he's going to dribble and shoot or if he's going to draw a face on it and talk to it. Spalding! Imagine an Isaiah thing that's too big of a pregame embrace, Rome. But then he balls out and fills up that stat sheet, and after the game, he's all business. And you know what I'm talking about, the big Tommy Bahama pants, the baggy shirt like Brian Windhorst wears in the pool, and those leather mandals.
That was Lef in Laguna talking about Tim Duncan. Drew in West L.A. reset that. When we come back, we talk some baseball and MLB columnist for the New York Post. Joel Sherman is my guest. That's next. Don't go anywhere. And some final thoughts on Valentine's Day and the athletes that partook.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, snoring is disrespectful. You need to stop. Get a Zipa right now. Make everybody happy. Zipa is 100% guaranteed to work. ZYPPAH.com. Happy Z, spelled backwards. As promised, we're talking baseball right now. We are joined by an excellent baseball columnist with the New York Post and MLB Network insider as well. Joel Sherman joins us on the program. Joel, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. I'm staring and watching a guy mow one of the backfields at Steinbrenner Field. Life could be worse.
Life is good, then. That's a good place to be, Joel. So you are in Tampa, obviously, for spring training with the Yankees. Before we get into the details, there have been a number of changes to the team of the offseason, but one of the biggest changes, Joel, of course, the arrival of Aaron Boone as manager. You would raise the point that Boone did not get that job because of the home run that he hit against the Red Sox in the postseason. But if he doesn't hit that home run, how likely is it that he even gets a chance to interview for that job?
Probably not great. I mean, it's funny. He shares almost the same reason that Bucky Dent got a job, right? Bucky Dent hit one of the most memorable homers in baseball history one October against the Yankees' most important rival, the Red Sox. And that put him on the trajectory to be the manager of the Yankees. And Aaron Boone did the same exact thing. Probably doesn't hurt to have the last name Boone, since his father and grandfather and brother all played Major League Baseball. Probably helps to be in a high-profile job like ESPN. That being said, he got into the room and won the job. Does he get into the room if he doesn't hit that home run? I would think probably not. But, you know, plaudits to him for getting into the room and winning the job.
You know, Joe, knowing him the way we know him, you know, as media members, we've all spoken to him as a player and even since he played, it's not a surprise that he did as well in the room as he did. But he has never been a manager at any level, so there's the adjustment to becoming a manager, and then there's the adjustment to becoming the Yankees manager. How do you think he'll handle that challenge?
Yeah, you know, I know you're aware of the saying, Jim, because, you know, you've covered sports for so long and so many different sports. I always think the major jobs with the Yankees are a lot like the, you know, when Michael Spinks said that he had a plan for fighting Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson said they all have a plan until they get hit.
Right.
Everybody has a plan for being the Yankee manager or the GM, and then they get hit. Some level of crisis happens, and you realize the magnitude of the media is at a different level. And yeah, you know, it's just a different beast. And then you find out, you know, what kind of personality you have. You know, like, you know, we all thought that Joe Torre probably wasn't going to be able to handle it. He didn't do well in three managing jobs before he got to the Yankees. And it turned out his personality was ideal for this position. And so, you know, the answer is, I wish I could tell you that there are obvious personality traits that would help, but who knows?
Joel Sherman joining us. We're talking about the Yankees right now. Now, Joel, the Yankees have added huge pieces before in the past. We know this. Guys like Dave Winfield and Alex Rodriguez. What about the addition of Giancarlo Stanton? How does that compare to some of the other additions that I just mentioned?
Well, this is a huge addition, but something I've been thinking about a lot, Jim, is like in some ways, it is like looking for a house and having a budget, and suddenly your budget isn't for a mansion, but the price of the mansion falls to your budget. You almost have to go get it, even though it's not really the house for you. That's what Stanton felt like a little. You know, the Yankees kind of badly wanted Shohei Ohtani to come to them. The Yankees didn't even make it to the final seven. They then decide to turn around and, okay, what else can we do? And here are the Marlins trying to get rid of the largest contract in the history of the game. Stanton has a no-trade clause. He doesn't want to go to San Francisco. He doesn't want to go to St. Louis. And the Yankees could get a deal where the Marlins eat a significant amount of money, and they essentially get a mansion for the price of a good house. And I'm not exactly sure they needed him. Like, you never turn down a great player. The more great players you have, the chances to win are better. But if you told me the Yankees didn't make that trade and then turned around and used the money on, let's just make them like Yu Darvish, I'm not sure that they're not a better team, because to me, their issue over 162 games is much more likely to be pitching depth fragility than it is going to be offense. Remember, without Stanton, they scored the second most runs in the major leagues last year. There was not a lot of room for improvement there. And they have some hitters potentially coming, and guys like Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar. I'm not exactly sure this was what they needed, but it was just, you know, to get old Godfather, it was an offer they couldn't refuse.
Hey, Joel, not only do I love that analogy, I've actually lived the analogy, and I can add to the analogy. I once was looking for a house, and there were these models in this neighborhood, you know, your typical kind of Southern California cookie cutter, overpriced, this, that, and the other. I loved this one model, but it was way too big and way too expensive. But then the person selling the home said it fell out of escrow, and it's a phase five house with phase two pricing. And I said, it's way too big. I don't need it. And this person said, are you stupid? You can get this house for this price. So I went and bought it. And the weird thing was, we grew into a house that was way too big. And maybe that was a stupid analogy to add to your good analogy, but it worked.
I don't know that, but I think it kind of works. I'll throw in one other thing that's not a, you know, people have talked about it, but I don't think they've talked about it enough, Jim. That is the additional fringe benefit of Stanton, why doing it makes a little more sense for the Yankees, which is if they don't do it, they're going to feel almost no matter what happens this season, win, lose, or draw, but especially if they miss the playoffs or get bounced out of the playoffs, in the next free agency phase, when Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are there, and they've already got under the luxury tax and they've reset it, it would be this incredible pressure to give, you know, $400 million or $300 whatever to Harper or Machado. Well, now with Stanton and Judge, there is literally no place for Harper. And with another big right-handed bat in Stanton, I'm not saying that they won't do Machado, but, like, the pressure goes away a little to add another huge player after they've done this. So it's almost like they got this guy for about $220 million for 10 years and avoided having to do $300 or $400 million for another player.
That makes sense to me. Perfect sense to me. Joel Sherman joining us. Now, Joel, what about the dynamic between the two of them? As an example, if you go back, there was the arrival, for instance, of Mickey Mantle to play alongside Joe DiMaggio. You had Dave Winfield playing with Reggie Jackson. You had A-Rod playing with Derek Jeter. In those situations, it was not always smooth between the new guy and the existing guy. Any sense of what that dynamic is going to be like between Stanton and Aaron Judge?
Yeah, that was the column I wrote in the paper today. Is literally, you can go back to 1980-81, that offseason, the Yankees brought in the 6'6", right-handed, dynamic player to help them try to get a championship. He was a right fielder, and they already had a right fielder who had just led the American League in homers and finished second in the MVP. It was Dave Winfield and Reggie Jackson. It's the same exact thing to the height of Stanton, 6'6". To Judge winning the AL Homer Championship and finishing second in the MVP this year. The difference is, you know, the guy who was in position then, Reggie, had an ego even bigger than his power. So did Dave Winfield. They were kind of like the best of frenemies right from the beginning, very similar to Jeter, A-Rod. Now, there was a potential for some tension here, because if you remember at the All-Star game in particular last year, which was in Miami, in Judge's hometown, in Stanton's home then, right, of Miami, Stanton did not handle all the questions about Judge becoming the face of baseball and the new hulking power hitter well. And to me, that the veteran didn't handle it well and the rookie did, said something. And again, he's going to deal with stuff coming to New York. It's a lot like your manager question, Jim, about, like, how will he handle, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, forget about never playing in a playoff game yet 7-8 years into his career. He hasn't played an important game after August 1st yet. Sure. In his career, you know, much less October 1st. So we're about to see a different level of scrutiny for him. That being said, I thought Stanton was great at his press conference and at the Baseball Writers Awards dinner, which was last month in New York. Stanton and Judge sat next to each other. They clearly seem to be getting on well. They both handled the night well at the microphone. And quite frankly, I think Judge is one of those types who we know in a variety of sports who makes it comfortable to be a teammate with him. You know, like, he's never going to make it uncomfortable. He's just a team-first, team-oriented kind of guy, and he's not coming in here with Reggie's attitude or ego or the A-Rod Jeter dynamic. And I, you know, like, if he's got to go to left field, he's not going to blink. If he's got to DH some, he's not going to blink. In fact, him and Brian Cashman, Jim, told a story yesterday that Cashman, you know, which said a lot because the guy was a rookie last year, just out of the right thing to do, called Judge before the trade and said, look, we're very close to maybe being able to do this. I want to give you, there's a chance to tell me, hey, you know, I'm worried about playing left field. I'm worried about being DH. And Judge just essentially said, you can get Giancarlo Stanton. Go get Giancarlo Stanton. It will make us so much better. So I just think he's that kind of personality.
Joel Sherman, my guest. Joel, at the risk of holding you too long or blowing up my clock, I do have to ask you this. You know, this notion that because they did this deal, they're not going to be under that kind of immense pressure to do another deal for Bryce Harper that's $300 or $400 million, yet it feels like a foregone conclusion that Bryce Harper is going to sign with the Yankees. How accurate, in your opinion, is that perception?
I mean, unless you're telling me that at the end of this season, the Yankees are going to trade Stanton or Judge, or, like, you know, Judge blew up and he was a one-year Joe Charbonneau kind of phenomenon, but isn't a real thing, or Stanton can handle New York and they're trading him out, I don't think you would put any of those three players in center field. I don't think you would spend that kind of money to create a full-time DH, for a prime-age player. So unless Bryce Harper suddenly also can pitch, I can't imagine doing it. I have spent a lot, like when people have asked me in the last 6 or 8 months, like even before the Stanton trade, and said, hey, who do you think the Yankees will get in that big free agent? You know, this is probably the most star-studded free agent class of all time is right now looming for next offseason. And people would ask, who do you think they're going to get, Machado or Harper? I'd go, Dallas Keuchel. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I mean, kind of like a look at who they have, where they've allocated money, where some of their top prospects play. To me, you know, Dallas Keuchel is Jimmy Key 2.0. Jimmy Key worked perfectly in New York, athletic left-handed pitcher. You know, if I was just guessing, I would assume, like, I would guess against me, you know. But if you told me, like, they were going to get one big guy from next offseason, that's who I would say they get.
You know, Joe Charbonneau is such a great pull. When I think about him, Joe, yeah. I don't know about you. Tell me, I mean, do you remember that whole legend that this guy could open up a beer bottle with his eye? Do you remember that whole thing?
I unfortunately remember it because I was the genius who tried.
Great. Yeah, I knew better than to actually try that. But that's for some reason, when I think about him, other than that one great rookie year, I think about the legend of Joe Charbonneau, Joel Sherman, the legend of Joel Sherman joining us and breaking things down. He is an MLB Network insider and a baseball columnist with the New York Post. Joel, thanks so much. Great to have you back.
It's always great to be on with you, Jim. Thanks.
You too. Joel, have a great day. We're coming right back. And when we do, one open segment. Hit us up. You've got your telephone number. You know where to find me. But I went heavy, and I will for a good guest. The suits have always told me that in New York. You can float that thing out if you have good content. Speaking of good content, here is a sports update for you. Rich Ackerman's got it. Still looking for a huge call. Still looking for the huge call. I do have one email I can read. Rome, the reason I stopped being a hockey fan and switched to the UFC is because these hockey players, with all their safety equipment and penalty boxes, act like junior high school boys when it comes to fighting. MMA is the real deal with real men. When these guys rupture each other's grapes, they post on social media, then they go out for a beer afterwards. I'd like to see that in the NHL. Sincerely. Sleeveless hoodies. Trying to cut in line at the florist. Asking the car salesman if you can drive by your exes on the test drive. Butterfly knives. And ruptured eardrums. Wore Dana White parlaying this incident into a Denny's Breakfast Scrambler sponsorship. Wore equalizers in the UFC. The legendary Joaquin coming in and doing what Joaquin does. Joaquin, I will do it and say it one more time. After you hammering me no less than 500 times, pushing for weapons, or in your words, equalizers in the octagon, I finally put the question to Dana White, and here's how he responded. People urging me to ask you about whether or not there can be weapons in MMA.
Weapons in MMA.
You know, like maybe a bat, a
what
club,
kind of
a
lunatics
gun,
are
knife.
Listening to this show?
Can you put this to rest once and for all? Do you ever foresee a day whereby you will let your fighters get into the octagon with weapons?
Never, never. Feet and hands, elbows and knees. That's it. No weapons.
You know, it's not even right when I said people are asking. People are not asking. Only you, Joaquin. Only you. Dana White put that to rest. What do you not understand about that? All right, so before we get too far away from it, because tomorrow it is too late, how was your Valentine's Day? How was your Valentine's Day, clones? I know this. It was not as good as the Greek freaks. No chance. You know how I know that? Because my man let me know that. In fact, he let all of us know that. In case you missed it yesterday, the Greek freak went live on Instagram from his apartment and he gave us all a tour. The reason for the tour was because his girlfriend, Mariah, had surprised him with red Valentine's Day balloons everywhere, and he was all stoked about that. Except the balloons were not the only gift he received. He also got a little red bell. The little red bell has a little message on it. The bell says, well, there's no way I can tell you what the bell says, because despite our TV MA rating, the bell is still way too inappropriate for this show. Maybe on my podcast. Certainly not here. Let me put it to you this way. The bell says something in the neighborhood of ring bell for wrestling. Something kind of like that. And not even like that. Kind of like that. Point is, my man decided to hold up the bell. Hold up the bell for the Instagram live video and then drop a self-gloss for the ages.
So, she bought me this too.
Stop putting those little kids on there.
You know, the freak.
Stop. What is wrong with you?
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits, you know what I'm saying?
You're embarrassing yourself.
In case you missed what he just said, he can be a freak on the court and on the sheets. You know what I'm saying? Woo!
So, she bought me this too.
Stop putting those little kids on there.
You know, the freak.
Stop. What is wrong with you?
He could be a freak on the court and on the sheets. You know what I'm saying?
You're embarrassing yourself.
Woo! She is so awesome in that. She's like, what are you doing? Stop. Oh, no. There's little kids on there. You're embarrassing yourself. Oh, this guy couldn't have been happier. Incredible. I mean, what might be more incredible is his girlfriend, again, pleading in the background. Stop. Stop. What are you doing? There are little kids on there. Stop. What's wrong with you? Oh, my God. You're embarrassing yourself.
So, she bought me this, too.
Stop putting those little kids on there.
You know, the freak.
Stop. What is wrong with you?
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits. You know what I'm saying?
You're embarrassing yourself.
He can be a freak on the court and on the sheets. You know what I'm saying? Woo! And at that point, she can do nothing but say, oh my God. The Greek freak going freak on the sheets on Instagram Live. It's about as good as it gets. And like I said, there is no way you had a better February 14th than he did. Keep doing you, freak. Never change. However, there's also no way you had a worse Valentine's Day than the poor gal who was brought out by her boyfriend to half court at the Magic Hornets game last night. Now, you already know where this one's going, because it's as predictable and lame as the stunt ever gets. This jackwagon's name is Will. The poor gal's name is Adriana. And after decoding a puzzle at half court, six images spelled out the words, will you marry me?
Will you marry me?
After further review, the proposal is good. Congratulations, Will and Adriana. International Diamond Center is giving you 20% off on your purchase of wedding bands.
You know, like every lady dreamed it up. Getting proposed to at a Magic Hornets game in front of a bunch of strangers leaving their seats to use the John. Oh, and whatever you do, do not sleep on the blatant commercial tagged to the proposal.
International Diamond Center is giving you 20% off on your purchase of wedding bands.
Hey, Adriana, enjoy the worst proposal and enjoy being told where you're going to get your ring at a discounted price. And if you think I'm putting words in her mouth, go check the video. She does not look happy. And then again, why would she be? It's barely one step above her boyfriend bringing her to his fantasy football draft at Buffalo Wild Wings and taking her with the number one overall pick while his boys rolled vertical cell phone tape on it. I mean, bad job, bro. Really bad job. Stand down at the, okay, if it'll even help. Stand down right now and let her just plan the whole wedding. Because I'm sure if it were up to you, you'd do it at the Amway Center in Magic Gamers, and you'd have Penny Hardaway officiate the ceremony. Imagine Penny, do you, Adriana, take this Jack Wagon to be your lawfully wedded. I do not nickel. I do not nickel. Wait, did you just call me nickel? I'm Penny. I don't care who you are or who he is. It's bad enough I got proposed to here at this game. I'm not getting married here. All you had to do was say, I do or I don't. Oh, I don't, nickel. Hey, Rome, our Valentine's Day was great. We couldn't wait for our wives to bring us home flowers. Signed, stay-at-home dads. Matt in Poland Springs. Hey, Matt, how many times have you emailed me today? And then how many of those emails were good? I know that one wasn't. A stay-at-home blast. Or a stay-at-home dad blast. GED recipients didn't want any of that. And by the way, that one hits way too close to home now that my EP is a GED recipient. All right? Come on, just stop. Listen, I've given this advice many, 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 many times. If you're young, and even if you're not young, and you're about to propose, do it the right way. It's a story that comes up all the time throughout the rest of your life because everybody you know is married virtually, and it will always come up. Where did you two get engaged? How did you pop the question? What was that like? You don't want to be the guy to say, I did it at an NBA game and there was a sponsorship attached to it with a discount diamond. I don't know, man. Maybe she's an unbelievable Magic fan and then you did it the right way. Most ladies are looking for something a little more romantic and a little more thoughtful. Keep that in mind. Don't do it at work. Don't do it at a game. Don't do it on the air. Man, make it personal. Make it private. I'm here to help. What's up, GED recipient?
Private.
Let's see. If Hawk himself brought it in again, it must be relating to Tiger Woods or something else. Let's see. At House Punter. My Valentine's was great. My 19-year-old girlfriend still orders off the kids' menu, so I had more money for pie. Signed, Danish Cook. Hey, Hawk, I know you're not that bright, as evidenced by your 11th grade educational level. Dude, there's nothing about that that made my show better. Do you like working here? Do you like working here? Then stop doing things like that if you like working here. There's like this cultural divide here on the staff. A chunk of the staff thinks things are funny that aren't. The host knows what's funny and what's not, and the host is almost always right. Hey, Hawk, if you want to go back to local radio, this is a good way to go about doing it. Stop bringing me Danish Cook tweets, all right? Huge call today brought to you by one of the best tours of the year, Def Leppard and Journey. In fact, the tour of the year, 58 cities, 10 stadiums, San Francisco to St. Louis and Denver and San Diego. The list goes on and on. Tickets are on sale right now to see these bands, Journey and Def Leppard, on stage this spring and summer when the tour kicks off May 21st in Hartford. See tour dates and get tickets online at livenation.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.